A man making the ultimate sacrifice so that others may live. This is at the heart of the gospel. In Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life, a ransom for many." It's that gospel message that gives us hope and encouragement for each new day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We're glad to have you with us this afternoon as we again consider the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. Join us, won't you, as we again spend some time reflecting on God's Word, the Bible. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Hello and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Gospel Talk. Glad that you've joined me again this afternoon. This week we've been considering the Word of God, and we're considering it in its two senses, the two senses in which it is referred to in the Bible. It's referred to as the written Word of God, or the inscripturated Word of God, and also as Word of God come in the flesh, or the Word of God incarnated. And yesterday, as we began considering this subject, we saw that the Bible has its origin with God himself. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed. The entire Bible has its origin in God himself, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so the Bible in all its 66 books is inspired by God. And what follows from that is its reliability. Jesus said in John 10:35 that the scripture cannot be broken. The Bible is infallible. The Bible never fails in its judgments and statements. We also heard yesterday that the scriptures are inerrant. That means that they possess the quality of being free from error. And we were reminded of what it says in Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." So scripture is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. And we can also add that the Holy Scripture, the Bible, is sufficient. When we say that it's sufficient, we mean that it fully contains the will of God, and that all that we need to know to be saved from the wrath of God against our sin is right there in our Bibles. As the Spirit teaches us in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And because it is a perfectly sufficient revelation from God, nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. And we find that in passages like Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. And of course, this is in the Old Testament, speaking about a very specific part of God's Word. Nevertheless, we can extrapolate this or extend this to the entire Bible. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Likewise, in Deuteronomy 12, 32, if we take a look at that passage, we find a similar thing said by the Lord. "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." And somebody might say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, if we go to the New Testament, similar sentiments are expressed in Revelation 22. At the very end of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 19, "If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So nothing can be added to the Bible. Nothing can be taken away from it. Scripture is inspired, infallible, inerrant, and sufficient. Now, we could say a lot more about that, but what I'd like to do now is consider the content of Scripture. What is the Bible about? Better yet, who is the Bible about? And I think it's best this afternoon to let Jesus answer that question. And he does that in the fifth chapter of John. In John 5, he speaks about the Jewish leaders as those who diligently study the scriptures. And what that means is that they know their Old Testament, inside out and backwards. Probably many of them had memorized the Old Testament. And they think that in so doing, they possess eternal life. Then Jesus adds these crucially important words, "These are the scriptures that testify about me." And he says in John 5:46, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Maybe you're looking for some verses to memorize this week. I commend to you the practice of scripture memorization. I think it's an important part of our growth as believers. And if you're looking for some verses to memorize, let me encourage you to memorize these ones. Verses 39 and 46 of John 5. These are the scriptures that testify about me. And verse 46, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. You know, these verses, along with others like them, they're the key to understanding everything in the Old Testament and everything in the New Testament. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about Jesus Christ. It's about his gospel, pointing to him and his gospel. It's all centered on him. Friends, it all points to him in some way, shape, or form. You know, take Psalm 22. Psalm 22, where we read the psalmist crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That psalm speaks about the suffering of Jesus. Jesus himself takes this psalm on his lips while he's on the cross. Or you could think of another psalm. You know, Psalm 22 speaks about his suffering, speaks about his death. Psalm 110 speaks about the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. It's the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. It's quoted at least 25 times. Psalm 110 is quoted at least 25 times. And in every instance, it's applied to Jesus Christ. And so the Psalms, too, are about him, and they point to him, just as everything does, in fact, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You know, friends, this is really important, because there are those who have this idea that the Old Testament is all about law. That the Old Testament is all about a God who is very stern and who commands people what to do, but doesn't really provide a way out. But the New Testament is about a God of love, a God who gives us the gospel. Well, that's a false dilemma. It's an inaccurate portrayal of the entire Bible, because the gospel is found everywhere in the Bible, because it all points to Jesus Christ. God himself first revealed the gospel in Genesis 3, and that's at the beginning of the Old Testament. There we find what we call the mother promise in Genesis 3:15. We call it the mother promise because from this promise, all other promises are birthed. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the mother promise. God promising to bruise the head of the serpent. God promising to bruise the head of Satan. And you know what happens when you get your head bruised, when you get your head smashed in? That's a death blow. And the promise of the gospel was proclaimed by and through the patriarchs. It was proclaimed by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and others. God came to each of them with his rich promises. It was preached by the prophets. We find the gospel in Isaiah. Think only of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We could mention other passages as well. It's also in Jeremiah and in all the prophets. The gospel is also revealed in the sacrifices and the ceremonies of the Mosaic Law. All those sacrifices, like for instance the sacrifice of atonement, a lamb without blemish being offered up, that pointed to Jesus Christ. And all of this came to fulfillment with the incarnation of the Son of God. The entire Bible speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me mention a couple of ways in which this ought to impact our lives. Well, first of all, it has to impact the ministry of our local church from Sunday to Sunday. Now, we've probably all heard sermons where the name of Jesus Christ wasn't even mentioned. I know I have. Or if it was mentioned, it was just casually in passing. The name, the person of Jesus Christ, his work was simply taken for granted. And I've heard sermons on the radio, and I've heard sermons in person, and maybe you have too, sermons that could have been preached in a Jewish synagogue or an Islamic mosque. And no one there would have batted an eye, because there was nothing about Jesus Christ, just ethics. Do this and don't do that, or maybe good advice, 5 easy principles to this or that. You know, friends, pastors have to aim to preach Christ and Him crucified, just as the Apostle Paul aimed to do. And congregations, those who, your friends who are listening here today to this program, you have an obligation to hold your pastor accountable to do just that, to hold him accountable to preach the Word of God. And because the Word of God is centered on Jesus Christ, to preach Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel. Second of all, let this impact your group Bible studies. You know, when you get together in your church or with some friends to study the Bible, there is a lot of study material out there, stuff that you can buy in the Christian bookstore that does not point you to Christ. There's a lot of Bible study material out there, and this is sad to say, but I have to say it. I have to be honest with you. There's a lot of Bible study material out there that just misses the point of the Bible. There's nothing or very little about Jesus Christ and how different Bible passages point us to Him. And you're going to especially find this to be the case with material dealing with the Old Testament. You know, we have to read the entire Bible with an eye to Jesus Christ and His work. And sadly enough, there are not a lot of people in our context, our broader Christian context, who want to do that, who think that that's important. So let me urge you this afternoon to use discernment when you select Bible study material. And I would encourage you to look for study guides that point you to Christ. Look for study guides that don't take the gospel for granted. Look for study material. Look for guides to the Bible that have the gospel as totally central, that have Christ as central. Friends, don't settle for anything less. Don't accept stones for bread. And when you're doing Bible study with fellow believers, challenge one another on this point. Ask the question constantly, how does this passage that we're studying point us to Christ? How does this passage that we're considering point us to the gospel? And I hope that this radio program this afternoon has been a blessing to you, that it's encouraging you, again, to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, because He is our hope and our salvation. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow at 2:45 with Gospel Talk. May God continue to bless you.
This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Our goal here at Gospel Talk is to faithfully preach the gospel in season and out of season. That's also the goal of the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church. This program comes to you today through their generous support. You can find the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at 17473 60th Avenue in Cloverdale. That's just off 176th Street. Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. Guests are always welcome. You can find more information about the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. That website again, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. You can also write us for more information, or if you have questions about anything you've heard today, write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI for more biblical instruction with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Abounding Grace can be heard Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m.